But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This parable is a warning to all of us who are tempted to make bigger barns the goal of our living. Jesus said, "Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist of abundance of possessions." If Jesus were telling this story today, he might follow it up with a story about a wealthy man who showed up at the pearly gates with two great big suitcases. They were heavy, and he was really burdened down with them as he came up to the pearly gates and set them down at his feet. And St. Peter checks to make sure his name is on the list and then looks at the man and says, "But you can't bring anything into heaven." And the man said, "Oh, couldn't you please make an exception? These are so very important to me. I've lugged them throughout my life, and now I've lugged them up here to heaven. Can't I bring them into heaven with me?" And St. Peter scratches his head and shakes his head and says, "No, no, no. That's against the rules. You can't bring anything into heaven." And the man says, "But please, these are so critical. They're so important. My whole life is based on them. Please, can I bring them in?" And so St. Peter says, "Well, what's in them?" And so the man opens one of the suitcases, and St. Peter looks inside and looks at him and says, "What in the world do you want to bring pavement into heaven for?" They were filled with gold, friends. The streets of gold in heaven. Get it? Ba-dum-bum. Yes, that may hit you in the back of the head like a boomerang in about 10 minutes. What do you want to bring pavement into heaven for? My friends, that sort of illustrates the character of this story today. We spend our whole lives working on building up our acquisition of things, so much so that we have to have a place to put our things. And then when we get more stuff, we got to have a bigger place to put our stuff. And then when we get even more stuff, we have to have an even bigger place to put that stuff. Indeed, some of us treat this life as if it were a game or an exercise at seeing who dies with the most toys. Well, my friends, it's true. All of our stuff, be it toys, games, houses, cars, possessions, gold even, isn't even worth the asphalt of the streets of gold in heaven. My friends, Jesus' parable today hits us square in the face with the reality that this life is not a life to be building up the treasures on earth. This life is not to be spent building the possessions of this life, the possessions of living, stuff that we need for sure and lots of stuff that we don't need. This life is not to be dedicated toward building up riches for ourselves and building bigger houses and bigger barns to put our stuff into in order to protect ourselves for this life. No, this life is called to be about building up riches toward God, becoming rich toward God. Let's take a look at the parable that Jesus told specifically. He says, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly." Now, he's already rich, my friends. The man is already wealthy. The man already has, obviously, all he could possibly need. He is rich, and his land is producing abundantly. So that's the baseline we're starting from. We're not starting from someone who is physically poor. We're starting from someone who has money, who has property, who has land, who has possessions, acquisitions. He already has barns. He already has stuff. if you will. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I already have all that I need. And now I have more than I can handle, in other words. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. What I've got now, the barns I have now, are big enough for what I had, but not big enough for what I have now. I've been blessed so much with so much abundance that if I'm going to keep it all and store it up for myself so that I'll have nothing to worry about 10, 20 years from now, I better build bigger barns. And so I'll tear down what I have and build larger. That's the temptation of this life, my friends, to take the abundance we have received and pile it on top of the abundance we had already. I love the next line. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm reminded of Letson saying to himself, self, those of you who know Gene know that he was apt to do that when he's thinking out loud, self. He says, soul, I have plenty. I have plenty stored up. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, think about it. He already had an abundance. He had barns to hold it all in, and now his barns are too small. So he'll pull down the existing barns and build bigger barns to put all of his extra stuff in, and now he can eat and drink and be merry. He ain't gonna have to worry about the future. Everything's taken care of. The pension plan is full. My bank accounts are stuffed to overflowing. I don't have to worry about the future. I've scrimped and saved. I've harvested and plowed and harvested and plowed and harvested and plowed. I've studied the stock market. I've sold dear and bought cheap. And I've made a lot of money in the market and on eBay, buying stuff for nothing and selling it very expensively. And now I've got stuff upon stuff upon stuff upon stuff. So much stuff I don't have a place to put it all. So I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones so I can keep it all and not have to worry about what I'll have to eat on next year. That's how we are sometimes. We're worried about next year, next decade, next decades. And we don't hear what Jesus says. We don't hear what God says to us. God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? I'm reminded of Dickens, The Christmas Carol. And here we have Ebenezer Scrooge piling up money for decades upon decades. More money than he knows what to do with. Loaning out funds to poor people at incredible interest rates, making tons of money through foreclosures and payments that they have given him. And now he has all this wealth, this unbelievable wealth. And when he dies, they bring in the chains in his dream. When he dies, they bring in the chains and the boxes full of his wealth to wrap them around him so that he will be weighted down into the depths of hell, incapable of flying to heaven. It's a terrible nightmare. All of his stuff was piled so high and piled around him so high that he could not soar with the angels. And he was weighted down. That was what Jacob Marley came to warn him about in the Christmas Carol. the chain would be much longer than his was, because he had lived longer and piled up more in his barns. Oh, how long is your chain today? Are you piling up to yourself? Are you thinking to yourself, I need to find bigger barns? You may have tiny little barns or a house stuffed to the gills with stuff. Are you looking to find a new place to store it? As I moved this last time, when I came here in stages, most of you know, and it was amazing. Peggy said that when I moved all my books and stuff into the office, that she said, they're going to have to say, keep me here for 20 years because that just got too much stuff to move again. And she's right. She didn't see what went into the parsonage a couple of years later when I moved into Turgeson House. Oh, Lord, my back still hurts from that. Doesn't yours, Dad? Yeah. It was a move. I hate moving. And that stuff is heavy. And as I was thinking about it, I realized how much I was able to do without, with most of that stuff being in storage for almost 2 years. It was amazing how I could get by without an awful lot of stuff. I had 2 full boxes of clothing that had been in storage for over 2 years. And I pulled it out and looked at it and realized I not only was it sitting in storage for 2 years, but I hadn't worn any of it in about 6. Why did I move it? In fact, it was still in the boxes that it was in when I went to Wichita Falls, now 8 years ago. Stuff. Piled upon stuff. So heavy, it's like a chain around our necks. Jesus' words to us, to all of us, is, you fool. You fool. You've piled up stuff in this life, to paraphrase Jesus, and now it won't do you any good. For while you may have stuffed full barns, barns filled with stuff, it's time for you to die. What does he say? This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? They won't be yours. The old saying, you can't take it with you, is true. The stuff of this life, you cannot take with you. You may want to. You may try to, like the man who had the suitcases full of heavenly asphalt, gold. But it won't do you any good. It's like the woman who tells the story about her mother. When she died, she wanted to take all her stuff with her, all of her money. She says, put my money in my casket when I die. I'm taking it with me. And so the daughter says, yes, mother, I will do that. And then after her mother dies, she goes to the bank and makes sure everything is taken care of, all the finances are taken care of, and then she pulls out her checkbook and writes a check for her mother and puts it in the casket with her mother. Where is she going to cash it, friends? You can't take it with you, the saying goes. Or can you? If you pile it up to yourself here in this life, if you sow it to yourself, to pull from last week's sermon, if you sow it to yourself, it's going to die with you. If you sow it to your own self, if you, all of your efforts and all of your time and all that you do and all that you have is invested in your own self and not in God, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die just like you. When Jesus comes for you, you can't take a U-Haul to heaven, friends. And those suitcases will hold you to the ground. And all it really is just asphalt for the streets in heaven. And God's gold is even better. As we learned in the book of Revelation, God's gold is transparent. His streets are paved with transparent gold. Wow. Better gold than you and I have. Indeed, the riches that God has for us are far superior to anything we could pile up here on earth. All of our barns aren't worth an ounce of the riches that God has for you and me. So why pile it up here in this life? only to have it weigh us down. Why pile it up here in this life for us only to lose it when we die? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. You see, you can take God's grace with you, God's love with you, the faith of Jesus with you, the blood of Jesus with you. You cannot take gold, heavenly pavement, but you can take grace with you, forgiveness with you, peace, love, joy with you. You can't take money and stuff and gold, but you can take Jesus. So what are you going to pile up? Riches from this life? Riches that lavish yourself here? Or are you going to invest in a much better stock market, friends? Where there are no crashes, there are no recessions, there are no depressions, there are no increases or decreases in the divine interest rate, and there is no unemployment. Where are you going to invest the riches of your existence, your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service? Are you going to invest it in yourself, or are you going to invest it in God, in God's family, in the church, in each other, and in expanding the gospel to the whole world? Are you going to be rich towards God or rich towards yourself? Are you going to be like this rich man who said to himself, "So, I have all I need. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Nothing else to worry about." And then die and discover it's too late to worry about eternity? Or are you going to invest in the riches of God? You know, when we give, we talk about needs. We talk about the church's need to receive money so that the lights can stay on and the air conditioning can operate and the salaries can be paid and the literature can be bought and all that other stuff that a church has to have to operate. All that, my friends, that stuff. I like lights. I really like air conditioning. I do like to eat, friends. But when it comes right down to it, it's not about the church needing to receive. It's about our needing to invest in God. It's about our needing to give. It's about our needing to not store up in barns that will be passed down the line to somebody else when we die. It's about investing in eternity. Where are you investing today? Are you investing your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service in yourself? Or are you investing them in the family of God, in the faith of Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Lord? Ask yourself that question today when you come to the table of the Lord, when you receive that grace that He so generously offers. Ask yourself the question, where are you invested? What does your portfolio look like? Is the ledger heavy with divine investments? Or do you have a bunch of junk bonds that will go when you do? Ask yourself that question, my friends, as you come to the table of the Lord. And when you receive the bread and the cup, and when you receive by faith into your life the real presence of Jesus yet again, give thanks to God that He gives us truly a place to invest our whole being in Him, in each other, in the church, and in the gospel itself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.